Matt always does this to me. Every time I preach, he plays one of those songs, and I rip my voice to shreds singing before I come up. Good morning. My name is Brian, and I'm one of the pastors here. Where are my guests? I have some guests I need to come up and join me. We rehearsed this 6 times. Come on. Where are the people? Good morning. My name's Brian. I'm one of the pastors here at Seven Oaks. And one of the areas of ministry that I'm responsible for overseeing is missions. So I've been very excited this month as we've had a chance to explore what it means to be a church who worships and serves a God who sends. Over the last 2 Sundays, we've had a chance to hear from missionaries who God has sent to serve in His name overseas. But this week, I'm doubly excited because one of the other areas of ministry that I'm responsible for or for overseeing is community care. And this week, we're going to focus our attention on the mission work that God has sent us to do and is sending us to do right outside of these doors in the city of Abbotsford. I want to talk briefly about why Abbotsford is such an important mission field for us. But first, I think we need to hear from God's word. Can you please all rise? Len is going to read from Matthew's gospel for us.
Matthew 25, 31 to 46. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on His left. Then the king will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of My brothers, you did it to Me."
Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you, Len. You know, there are certain fundamental tensions that are built into the way in which different churches and denominations have, over the years, understood the mission that God has called us to in the world. The Christian and Missionary Alliance is a good example. Anyone who knows anything about the history of the Alliance knows that our founder, A.B. Simpson, had a great passion for bringing the good news of the gospel to people who had never heard it before in the far-flung corners of the world. But less well known is the fact that Simpson and his followers, years before the fledgling Alliance, were sending out overseas missionaries. Years before that, they were answering God's call to care for the people in their neighborhood by building care homes and orphanages in the city of New York. Christian churches and denominations have sometimes struggled over and sometimes been divided over the question of how we are called to bear witness to Christ in the world. Is it to be through the preaching of the gospel, through the words of Scripture, or through the compassionate provision of help to those who are most in need of help in the practical circumstances of their personal, physical, social, relational, and financial lives? Well, A.B. Simpson, the founder of the Alliance, was convicted that the God who is our Savior and Sanctifier and Healer is always concerned with the whole person. And he based this conviction on the example of Jesus himself, who did commission his disciples to go out into all nations of the world and preach the gospel, but who would never fail to stop everything he was doing, to bend down, to hold out an open hand, and to care for those in need. And Jesus never went anywhere that he couldn't find those people. They were in abundant supply just outside the gates of his temple. And finally, we Christians have always understood that when we love and care for strangers in need who are all around us, and we do so in Christ's name, we are doing his work by being his hands and feet. When you give yourself to another and you do so in Christ's name, you are being Christ to that person. But sometimes we forget, and it's helpful to be reminded of the paradoxical reality that Jesus made sure that his disciples understood. The passage that Len just read so beautifully is from Matthew 25. It's from the Last Supper. From the last night that Jesus had alone with his disciples before the day on which he died on the cross. And he was giving them in this discussion a detailed set of instructions about how they are going to have to live and carry on after he's no longer with them in the flesh. And he concludes that whole set of instructions by giving them the parable of the sheep and the goats, which Len read part of this morning. The message that Christ left, and by Matthew's account, it was essentially the last thing he said to his disciples to make sure that he would have them on the right track after he ascended to heaven. What he said to them was, when we feed those who are hungry, when we clothe and house those who are without shelter, when we help the sick and the addicted to heal and to recover their lives, when we give our time and our attention to the lonely, Christ is not only present in and through us, Christ is present in the person who is being helped. Christ is in us, and Christ is in the person who is being helped. The king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers or sisters of mine, you did for me." My first guest this morning is Wendy Townsend. Hi, Wendy, come on up. You can join me at the cool round table. Wendy is the program director for Adult and Teen Challenge BC. This organization provides a one-year residential discipling program for people who are struggling with life control issues of various sorts. They operate a women's program here in Abbotsford and a men's program in Chilliwack. And over the past 14 years, the women's program has helped literally hundreds of women get their lives back together by helping them to center their lives in Christ. And we're going to hear from one of those women now.
My name is Jennifer Comodina, and I'm 36 years old. I've been in the program of Adult and Teen Challenge for 12 months. This is my last month before I graduate. Before I came to this program, I was broken. I was in addiction. I suffered from domestic abuse throughout my life, and being in this program has been a life-changing event. Coming into the program, I didn't know what I was going to be getting myself into. I didn't know the relationship that I was actually going to have with God. I just knew that I wanted a different lifestyle, that I needed that different lifestyle. I had trust issues, I had self-control issues, I had self-esteem issues. I didn't know how I was actually going to survive. But being in the program, I have been immersed in God 24/7. It has been an unbelievable change in my life. God has spoken to me through his word, through prayer, through people, through the staff, through even the other students in the program. They have spoken life into me. My prayer life has grown. God has put joy back into my heart. He's put the peace back into my heart. He's given me the strength to move forward, to go through the pain that I have actually had to feel and not have to worry about going back into addiction. He's given me the coping mechanisms, the coping skills. He has surrounded me with his love. Even the last few weeks ago, I had an encounter with God where he actually removed the pain of my past and he filled me with his joy. And I don't even have to go back. I know that looking forward that my life is with God. And I want to change. I want to make the changes in other people. I want to help other people in addiction. I want to bring them to Christ as well, because this is the only way to live. It's to live with the love of Christ in your heart. Thank you so much.
Wendy, thank you for all the work that you guys do. I've got two questions for you. One, how can the members of the Seven Oaks family come alongside, love, care for, and support this ministry and the women who are in it?
This church has actually been a very big part of the Women's Center for a number of years with their volunteers and financial support as well. But the volunteers that have joined us in a number of different areas in our program are coming alongside the women. Allowing them to be part of something bigger, something that they've never experienced before. And that is has been such a huge impact for the women, because they a lot of times when they come in, they just don't feel like they belong anywhere. And so when people can just come alongside them and encourage them and build them up, it's extremely helpful. It's amazing what it does.
Thank you. And secondly, and even more importantly, how can we pray for you?
The areas that we constantly need prayer are the women, men and women, who are coming into the program and not knowing, as Jennifer had mentioned, not knowing where they're coming to. And sometimes they get stuck and not able to make it through the door. Sometimes when they come in, it's extremely, it's scary. It's a scary place. We provide a year-long residential treatment, and there's a number of different ways to be able to help people in addiction, but we provide a year-long, and that it takes a lot to come into a year and say, I'm going to put a year aside, my kids, my family, any kind of what would be support, and come into the program. And so if you can continue to pray for the men and women who are making that decision to come in and allowing them to stay the course and stay in the program.
Excellent. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Wendy. Thank you. Dave? My next guest is Dave McCarthy. Dave, along with Bea Hildebrand, leads the English as a Second Language, or ESL, program that we operate here at Seven Oaks. Our ESL program has been in operation for 16 years and currently offers 5 different levels of ESL training, as well as the wonderful Word for ESL program, and typically to over 100 adult students from the community every year. Let's hear from one of those students.
Our purpose is to reach people for Christ with ESL.
My name is Ararat. I came recently to Canada. So when we arrived in Canada, the problem was we couldn't understand in a good manner English. Our English was not good. So, and we have no paper to go to anywhere. And we hear that there's a church, Seven Oaks Church, they have a ministry for ESL class for new you're surprised to find people in different parts of the world, from Japan, from Korea, from Jamaica, many from Brazil. And the best thing in our class was the relation between teacher and the students and student and student. So we found the love, and we were eager every day to find what day we will go to the church, because we missed the friends and teacher. So the teaching was very good, and we benefit. My English level became better, and I built friendship with people. And because it was in the church, so we know that the love of Christ was there. We felt, we read all these posters on the wall that you love your neighbor as yourself and love God. So, which is affect. I believe in all this, but this deepened this love in my heart, and it encouraged me to be more like Jesus, who came and gave his life and he suffered for us. So I found these teachers coming, and they were volunteering and working hard to teach us English, and they want us to have this relation with each other. And this, it was a relieving for us, because to come to Canada, to new country, and all these challenges far from your relatives and your family, and you found this new family in Seven Oaks Church. It was for me and my wife, it was a blessing. And we always thank God for us to find such a good place, a clean, quiet, and very, and the curriculum of the English was very good. I was in the class 4, and I passed the examination and the test. And when I went to the university recently, before 3 weeks, they said, "Oh, from where you learn English?" I said, "It was in the church, Seven Oaks Church, ESL class." And not only English, they feed us, not only the knowledge, also we ate with them on the same table, and they feed us spiritually. So when I finished my class, I think that my faith was stronger than before, and I'm still growing in my faith. And I am thankful for Seven Oaks Church and for the ministry of ESL class. I'm very grateful to the teacher. They were a very good example of how Jesus, the disciple, should be. And we learned, and we hope that in one of the future we can give back what we take from this great church and from the people who support this church. Thank you very much for Seven Oaks Church. And God bless you. God bless this country.
So Dave, I'm going to give you completely different questions you weren't expecting. Actually, I'm going to ask you the same two questions. In what practical ways can the Seven Oaks family continue to come alongside, help, love, support, care for this ministry and the people in it?
We've heard already about how we as brothers and sisters in Christ can be welcoming to each other, and we would just encourage you to be welcoming to our students. Many of them come into our services. You may not even know who they are or that they've been connected to ESL. Their English may not be all that great, but they would love to hear from you. Hi, welcome. We're glad that you're here. And so we would appreciate and would love it for you to do that. And also, we would love for you to just come alongside people who are hurting, who've come from war-torn lands, from left often children behind, and they need somebody just to put their arm around them and say, it's going to be okay. God loves you, even as we heard how Ararat came to Christ and how they can just come to know him as well. The other thing is, you certainly can be involved in the ESL ministry. We always need people. We need people to serve coffee at our coffee break. We need teacher helpers. We need teachers. We need subs. And you will find that you will get far more blessing when you volunteer than the time that you give.
Thanks, Dave. Well, how can we pray for the ESL ministry?
I would just encourage you to remember, if you can, Monday mornings from 9 to 12 and Thursday mornings from 9 to 12, when our teachers are not only teaching English, but our priority is to share with them the Lord Jesus. And every week, our teachers prepare a devotional, 10, 15 minutes long. They need to be sensitive to sometimes three or four different religions that are in the class, but they need to be able to communicate in such a way that people understand the gospel. And it's a big job. None of our teachers are trained theologians, and they're not pastors, they're all volunteers, so pray for them. And then you can also pray for all of the other areas of ministry that's involved in ESL. Our coffee people that prepare the goodies and the coffee and clean up afterwards, and they greet the students with just as much warmth and love as we as teachers do. So we would love for you to pray for them as well, that they would just extend that love.
Thank you. We will. Linda. My next guest, you can clap for ESL. Absolutely. My next guest is Linda Driediger. I'm going to take a moment now to put the microphone lower for Linda. Several years ago, Linda's late husband John and she started a ministry here at Seven Oaks, which goes by a really straightforward name of Addiction Recovery Ministry. We know it as ARM. Every Monday night, and this is every Monday night, ARM hosts an addiction recovery support meeting. And typically the attendance is anywhere from 60 to 80 people. Countless men and women have received love and help and encouragement and support. Lives have been changed. Men and women who didn't know Jesus have come to trust him as their Lord and Savior. And Seven Oaks has been blessed as they become members of God's family, Christ's church, in this very place. Why don't we hear from one of those folks?
So my name is Larissa Arndt, and I am 38 years old. I am a typical Abbotsfordian. I'm here to answer a big question. What has Jesus done in my life? So many, many years ago, I was on a path to just absolute destruction by my own hand. And my heart was dark and wicked, and I was just an absolute mess by drugs and violence and hurt and pain. And I was just messed up. And I didn't know how to stop. I didn't know how to get help. I didn't know what to do. And it was the love of Christ. The love of Christ that picked me up and just took a hold of me.
we pastors who preach have mixed feelings about these sorts of testimonies, because when we hear them, we realize that we're never going to be able to preach the gospel as well as that. Linda, how can we, the Seven Oaks family, come alongside of this fantastic ministry?
Well, it's everything that everyone has said already. And when people come to our church, they say that this is a very loving and accepting place. And as you hear, people come in with their shame and their guilt. And when we love them and accept them, that's one way we can help them. Because our program is confidential and anonymous, except for Larissa, we have closed meetings, unless there's a special celebration like a cake or something when people are invited. But we want people to have a safe place to come when they have their addictions and they don't have to feel shame. And so if you have expertise that you could offer to our people, that would be wonderful. We have a man that helps them with their income tax. Roy Daly has made himself available. We have a card there. People can phone him, and he helps them with income tax, for instance. Another thing that we need is we have a refreshment team, and there's always need for people to help with the refreshments. And so if you're interested in that, it's a two-week on, four-week off rotation, and they come early. They make some coffee, tea, and goodies that we have at the break. And so that's kind of things that you can do to help.
And how can we pray for you?
Well, as you heard from Larissa, I don't have to, again, say that working through recovery is very difficult. It's hard work. When we break a leg, we go to a doctor, we get a cast, we have occupational therapists. When you come into recovery, it's like a spiritual root canal. And pray for people who are going through this because they're dealing with their character defects and the triggers that make them want to go back out. So that's one area you could pray. Pray that those that aren't in recovery would want to come to addiction recovery. I have brochures at the back. You can take it if you have someone you know that just let them, make them aware of our program. And it's just a piece of their recovery, but it's a place to come where they can feel safe and welcomed. When they do start coming, we just really appreciate them being regular members of our group. And we do need small group leaders. We need people to help with setup. So pray that they would become committed to addiction recovery ministry. And then myself and five other people are on a leadership team that we meet regularly to talk about how do we keep ARM a safe place, how do we make it welcoming to the newcomers, what are some of the things we need to deal with, pray for the leadership team. There's six of us on that team.
Thank you, Linda. Last to join me up here at the table will be Richard and Angie Korkowski. Oh, you've heard of them. 14 years ago, Richard and Angie started Joshua House, which is a residential addiction recovery ministry for men. This ministry started out small. If you haven't had a chance to hear these guys tell the story, get a chance. It's extraordinary. But the ministry has grown over the years and now involves five recovery houses here in the city of Abbotsford and the just recently opened 45 to 50 bed camp up on Chilliwack Lake Road. The facility that they're calling the Creek. In fact, I'm told that the Creek had a soft opening yesterday, as various members of the extended Joshua House family went up to the camp and bathed the place in prayer and invited the Holy Spirit to continue to be resident in that place. A number of members of that extended family, including Richard and Angie, are members of the Seven Oaks family as well. And if on any given Sunday morning you notice someone in this room who is worshiping God with the kind of physical passion and enthusiasm that puts you in mind of King David dancing before the gates of Zion, there's a good chance that he's from Joshua House. Let's see another video.
Crazy. That scripture is so predominant in my life. As I was sowing to the flesh, I was exactly what was I going to expect? I was going to become sober by chasing the same things that took me out in the beginning? No. I mean, what I reap was a relapse, man. But it was by the grace of God that was through the staff here that allowed me to go to, back to one and to replant onto the foundation of Jesus Christ rather than replant on the ground, you know? next to the river. You know what I mean? You're trying to blow and blow. My house ain't going down nowhere. It's the Lord's house. You know what I'm saying?
That's who we need to hear.
Yeah. Well, yeah. 100%. My name is Paul Repko. Some people might know me as Dallas. Dallas was an alias that I got from the street. When I was a young kid, I grew up. My family, they loved me. They poured into me. They brought me to my soccer games, my karate lessons. Eventually, by the age of 8, my sister was about 12. She started her addiction with meth, and she started to go astray. My family, they focused on her a lot, so I was kind of the neglected child in a way. I always sought to gain their attention, so I went to school and did all the right things that normal people would do. But on the sidelines, idolizing my sister's friends who were drug dealers and collectors and drug users, I started to fall into that life. By the time I was 19, I've overstepped my boundary. I was a full-blown meth and fentanyl heroin user. By the time I was 21, I started my embarkment in and out of jail, homeless on the streets, always trying to feel from the world, always trying to get more money, never feeling content in my life. From my 21 to 27, I was experiencing overdose after overdose, in and out of jail, always on the streets, always getting into fights, expressing violence to get anything that I needed for my habit. And just a whole lot of hopelessness, a whole lot of pulling from the wrong direction. So I tried getting help before, and through secular treatments and in jail or at my mom's house or on the street trying to get sober, and to no avail. And it wasn't until God led me to Joshua House where I experienced Him. The first 3 months of my walk at Joshua House, I was sowing a lot to the flesh. I was going after the women, the money, the fame, the success, and I reaped exactly what I should have reaped from that another relapse. But I experienced something I never experienced in my life before, and that was grace. And so I was given a second chance to start growing with God, which I experienced to be born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, and everything radically shifted in my life. It was absolutely impossible for me not to talk about God. 95% of my conversations is about God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, or the scriptures that I've been led to learn. And I've been pulled out to the street to spread the gospel to the darkness of what I've been pulled from. And it's just been a blessing. Now today I can stand before you, 18 months, feeling content, feeling satisfied, feeling filled, feeling like I have purpose and a reason to live because of what God has done in my life. I express, if anybody's ever struggling with something in your life, turn to Jesus, because there's another way. In John 14:6, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So I just express that if anybody's struggling, seek out Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I also don't plan to let Paul ever preach, because you'll never listen to me again. Guys, how can we, the Seven Oaks family, come alongside, love, care for, and support this ministry?
Where do I start? we, as you know, have just opened the creek, and we're very excited. We can help 45 more little brothers come to Christ. It's a huge undertaking, so we do need a lot of prayer around that, as well as physical needs, like single beds, if you have single mattresses kicking around, or sheets, or anything. Those are the practical things. But we also are looking for someone with a heart to come up to the creek and be a pastoral care or a group facilitator, like a leader who's going to preach the word to these boys. These men come from various different backgrounds and not pretty. They come from a background of crime and generational sin, and they come to us broken. We're their last resort, so to speak. And they really need someone to teach them
about Christianity, to teach them about Christ, and to tell them that Christ loves them no matter what they've done in the past, that that can be forgiven. And so we do need help with preaching the word to these boys up there. We are keeping all of our houses open in Abbotsford as well, and we will be filtering through. They start at the creek. We feel that that's where God is very much inspired. You look around up there, you see mountains and a stream running right behind the cabins. And, you know, it has such a church camp feel to it. It's really a blessed piece of property. We sit on 32 acres. So there's a lot for these boys to do, but they really need their souls to be fed. So we need people like you, everyday normal people, to come alongside of these men and mentor them. That's the key. For Richard and my own recovery, that was the key. We had people like Alice, who sits out there. She mentored us, and she still is mentoring us. She's our spiritual mom. The boys need this. They need people to speak in their lives and pray with them. And lastly, we have about 25 to 30 men out here in various seats in the audience who come to Starting Point every Sunday and who come to service every Sunday. You might know them, you might not. But these guys need love. They need understanding, and they need people to listen to them and care for them. Some don't even know who Christ is. They're sitting in here because they have to. But they don't even know who Christ is. So if you see one of the Joshua House guys out there, just love on them. Just welcome them with open arms, as you've always done. And just, yeah, share the word of God with them. Thank you.
And how could we? Yes. How specifically can we pray for you?
We're constantly under spiritual warfare. We need protection. The leadership needs protection, wisdom, guidance, utterance, what to speak to these guys. Most of the guys come to us, contrary to popular belief, non-believers. And we need the compassion and the love of Christ to show who he is to them. And it takes a lot of work. It's pretty draining at times. Pray for the right men to come, for their families to understand where they've come from. Pray for all our physical needs. We have so many constantly. Addicts break everything. For the men to really feel the Holy Spirit when they come in. They need that. They get lost. I know. I see it. The darkness that they come with is overwhelming sometimes. And cleansing of all the properties, of all the homes, and for the men who come in to be cleansed so that they can hear from the Holy Spirit. And the acceptance to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And for you as a congregation to accept them for where they are. They don't come in with church etiquette. They don't understand it. And for that acceptance, thanks.
It's, come on up. Well, it's more prayer than one or 10 or 100 of us can manage, but there are many of us. And we've been called, you've been called to pray constantly for these ministries. But we should pray now. So I'm going to now invite these guys to come around. I'm going to lead us in prayer. We're going to pray for their ministries, for these leaders, for other ministries and their leaders. We're going to pray for the participants. And we're going to begin praying now, but we're going to keep praying, all of us, constantly. Please join me. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we who are gathered here in your name this morning offer you, first of all, our unqualified praise and thanksgiving. To you be all honor and glory and power, now and forever, world without end. You are the creator and sustainer of all life. It is in you that we live and move and have our being. We acknowledge you as our Savior, sanctifier, healer, coming King and Lord. We lift up today all of the mission and ministry that is being done in this city under the authority of your name, by the power of your Holy Spirit, and through the agency of your grace. We lift up Seven Oaks and all of its ministries and leaders, but most especially those like Dave and Linda who serve on the front lines of your love. We lift up Teen Challenge and Joshua House, even as we lift up all of those churches and organizations that serve as the instruments of your compassion. We lift up Wendy and Richard and Angie and all of the leaders whose passion is to serve you and whose gift is to be able to see your face in the faces of those they care for. We thank you for the testimonies of Jennifer, Ararat, Larissa, and Paul. We lift up all of the past, present, and future participants in these ministries and in others like them. All those you have called your brothers and sisters, Lord, and you have challenged us to love them as brothers and sisters of our own. Inspire and empower us to see and to love others the way you see and love them, Lord.